Welcome to another episode of Indie Darlings, the podcast where we discuss indie films. Today, I have the lovely comedian, Courtney Carwall.
Hello.
Courtney, what indie film did you suggest today?
I suggested Slumdog Millionaire.
From 2008, Best Picture winner for the Academy Awards. What made you pick this film?
I hadn't seen it in a really long time, since 2008, so 10 years. And I was like, oh, it was too many indie films. So I was like, oh, this is the one indie film I know.
I didn't realize it was an indie film, and I Googled it. Yeah, and I was like, oh, shit, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an indie film and a foreign film, and
checks all the boxes.
Yeah. It's just, it had high production value, though.
Yeah.
And it had Danny Boyle attached to it, who's like a well-established director.
Oh.
Yeah, he did Trainspotting, 28 Days Later. There's probably a bunch of famous movies on.
Is 28 Days Later, is that with Sandra Bullock?
No. Bullock? You're thinking of 28 Weeks.
Oh. I always get those two confused.
One's about zombies and one's about Sandra Bullock trying to get sober.
I've seen neither, so that's why I get
I've seen the first half of both. They're very different movies. Honestly, I want to finish both. They seem very intriguing. But yes, just do you remember in the period in the 90s when Sandra Bullock was like
in everything?
Not just everything, but like seeing her play an angsty character. She was kind of like a Kathy cartoon where people love to see her go, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if this was part of that, but I remember Glass House. I still don't understand that movie to this day.
Which one was Glass House? I know we're not.
That was the one where she lives in a glass house on the lake and she puts letters in the mailbox.
Oh, that's the lake house.
Oh, damn it.
I think, House of Glass with Lily Sobieski where she finds out someone killed her parents.
Okay.
Her foster parents turn out to be evil.
And so I'm talking about Lake House.
Yes, okay. you're thinking of the Lake House with Keanu Reeves.
She's got too many movies that sound like other movies.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, Lake House.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Don't rewatch it. It's not worth your time.
I heard that was a remake of a Korean film.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, and it makes, when I hear about the plot, it totally makes sense. Yeah, like this whole long distance, like, just tragic love Koreans go gaga for. Yeah.
That they like communicate through a mailbox, but he lives 20 years in the future or something. Probably not 20. But then they somehow meet up, but it just doesn't make sense how they would. Oh, sorry. Doesn't make sense how
it's
they
not
would meet
your,
up.
You didn't write it. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
Okay, so Slumdog Millionaire.
Yes, back to Slumdog.
I saw this in theaters twice. Once was at a Fox screening, and the other was an AMC with a bunch of cousins. I did not rewatch this for this because I did not want to. Because there's just so... this movie burns its way into your brain.
Yeah. I rewatched it, and I hadn't seen it since when it came out. Mm-hmm. And I remember my friend was like, we have to go see this movie. And I was like, it's 10 p.m. I'm going to fall asleep. And I didn't fall asleep when I watched it. But yeah. After watching it, I was like, oh, I remember everything now.
Oh, yeah.
And holy smokes.
Yeah. It's Danny Boyle. You're not going to fall asleep.
Yeah.
For people that aren't familiar.
Well, I fell asleep in The Hateful Eight and also, Grateful Eight. Shoot. Wow.
Is that the Tarantino film?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not Danny Boyle, though.
No. Yeah, you're right.
Danny Boyle shoots in a way that makes you feel... like the cops are after you.
Yeah.
Lots of quick cuts, lots of Dutch angles. And from what my producer Dave tells me, he used a tiny cam.
I just think there were smaller cameras that they like.
Yeah.
Either at the time were new to cinema.
Yeah.
Because all of it's on location.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They were really.
Yeah.
I don't think any of it's. I'll be shocked if any of it's really a set.
Yeah, it's lots of like following, lots of running shots.
Yeah.
And it's very visceral. And I remember when this I loved the soundtrack to this movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
I had it on my phone.
Yeah, I played it in the car on the drive to high school.
I played it at the gym in college. It was such a fun soundtrack. I think MIA is on it.
Mm-hmm. Paper Planes.
Yeah, but like all of it. And then they have that. Well, this doesn't spoil anything. They have that fun dance sequence at the end.
Oh, yeah. The homage to Bollywood movies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's kind of surreal because you see all the actors come out, even the ones that died or whatever, come out and just do the group dance.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, wait, you're a bad person.
Yeah. Or like, oh, you were the child version of him. And it was like kind of, I don't know. It weirdly gave me closure when I watched it.
Yeah. I was really interested when you, that they shot just on location. Because there was a part when I was rewatching it, that the guy was like, oh, you can't film here? So mm-hmm. I was wondering if they probably didn't get permits or anything, right? I don't know. Because how did they film just like through like the slums and just all of that and all of those people?
I'm very curious about that too. Because I was watching a lot of videos about the movie. And one of them is that shot where someone says you can't film here.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they added that to give it a sense of realism.
Oh, okay.
But that might be me stretching or reaching. okay, so for people that don't know, this movie is about a couple of orphans, the main one being Jamal, who is on the Indian version of the very 2000s show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And fun fact, the show is being hosted by someone who won the show in real life.
Oh, was that? Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And was he also from the slums? Is that what it was? Or
I don't.
He has a British accent, but I guess Britain did run. Anyways.
I'm really not sure, but I just remember thinking it was very strange that it was hosted by not the actual host of the Indian version of that show, but a contestant.
Who won. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so Jamal is... I really hope I'm saying his name right. So there's Jamal and then his older evil brother, Salim.
Mm-hmm. He gets really evil, too. Holy
this
smokes.
Kid is like, he sucks. He's like a sociopath from the start. Like every section of his life, you see him screw over his brother or their friend that they meet along the way, Latika, who is a fellow orphan that they meet in the slums.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that their mother was killed during the Bombay riots.
Okay, that's what it was. I was like, wait, what are the Bombay
riots?
Yeah,
I Googled that, and apparently it was a riot that happened in that area of India between Muslims and Hindi nationalists.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like huge, like 700 people died.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And so, yeah, that was like crazy. So his mother gets killed and they basically become orphans and they that's how they meet Latika and they there's a lot of back and forth here and would you say there's magical realism in this movie?
Kind of, yeah, probably, cuz they see the one Hindu god and that's what makes him realize what the answer to the question is.
Well, also just like all the questions he's getting asked on the show correspond to a major event in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So he happens to know the answers.
Yeah.
Like who invented the revolver, who's on the $100 bill. And it's all stuff that like they're surprised someone that grew up in the slums would know.
Yeah.
Because he works in, I think, customer support at the time, but he grew up in the slums. He was an orphan and everyone's like, you see him getting beaten up by the cops because when he does win the show, they think he cheated and they're trying to figure out how. And he's explaining to them his life events, explaining why he knew all the answers.
Yeah. Like there's no way that would ever happen in real life. So,
yeah, it was a very coincidence upon coincidence upon coincidence.
Mm hmm.
And even a part where...
But the last question, he doesn't know it. He doesn't know the answer. He just guesses.
Yeah. And then... I'm jumping around like crazy. Even when the host gives him the wrong answer, when he tries to act like he's going to help him cheat when mm-hmm. they on a bathroom break, he still manages to choose the correct answer.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he just didn't want to win by the help, or...
I think he was having a fuck it moment because he was... Okay, so this whole time, the reason he's even on the show is because he wanted to find Latika because... oh my God, so much stuff happens in this movie. So the three of them are basically orphans, but then they get lured into someone who does child trafficking.
Yes. I think, well, aren't they just to beg on the streets for money so that the person doesn't work?
Yeah, but they also find out that he was going to blind some of them.
Yes, so like, they could get more money for him.
Yeah, but he was going to blind them for real, like pour like a really acid in their eyes.
Yeah, I closed my eyes during that part.
Yeah, and I was just like, you could just have him wear a patch, but I guess they wanted the authenticity. And I was just like, that's so brutal. And so upon seeing this, they escape. And then I think
Latika falls behind.
Yeah. Well, doesn't Salim like intentionally leave her behind?
No, I think she... Oh, does he? Oh,
yeah, maybe like they're running onto a train and then he lets go of her hand. Yeah, because she pulled a prank on him where they put... Well, because he was being a dick. There's so many times when he's being a dick. One of the first times is when the kids are never not working. They're running a porta potty business.
And he locks his brother in the porta potty.
Yeah, because he's taking too long to take a shit and it costs them a customer. So he locks him in and then they hear that when a famous celebrity, an Indian actor, is in town. And so they're all trying to get his autograph. But Jamal just dives through.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Into the poop.
Yeah. An Indian porta potty. And he's like covered in shit, which I found out was peanut butter and chocolate, which made me feel so much better.
Oh, yeah. Phew. Yeah. I was wondering what they.
It looked authentic.
I was like, that is disgusting.
Yeah. Well, knowing that it probably smelled amazing makes me feel a little better. But he's like covered in shit and he manages to get this actor's autograph. But his brother steals it and sells it.
Oh.
Did you forget this part?
No, I remember him jumping into the shit and then going to get the autograph and then saying, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I just blanked on the.
Oh. Well, what's funny is if you look up on YouTube clips of this movie, this is the one that pops up the most and the first.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. I think there's just something about a little kid jumping into a pile of shit that makes people be like, you gotta check this out.
Did he actually jump into the porta potty pile of shit? There's no way.
Wait, what?
I don't know. Did he actually jump into the porta potty? Like,
yeah, he jumps down the hole that people are shitting into.
Yeah, but was that a real hole? I don't know if I'm making sense here. You know what I mean? You know, like, if you were to jump into an actual Burbank porta potty.
Uh-huh.
But then take a shower and be covered in peanut butter and chocolate. I'm just trying to figure out how they made
them. I think they probably set it up in a way.
Okay, okay.
Where he landed on something. This isn't like a regular porta potty thing. There wasn't tubing. It was just open on the bottom and there happened to be a pile of shit underneath it.
It was like a wooden shack. Oh, now that I think about it, I think the pile was very much the color that he was.
Mm-hmm.
But still, yikes. Whoa.
Yeah. His brother has done dick moves to him again and again. And then, so he lets go of Latika's hand. I think because they did a prank on him where they put chili peppers on his dick while he was sleeping.
Oh, that's right. Yes. When they were in the, not orphanage, but with the guy
with the child trafficker.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, oh man, the way this movie is shot, I'm curious how they did it, because when the kids are sleeping, they're literally sleeping at a landfill. When they're first found by the child trafficker.
Yeah.
Like, they're sleeping on piles of trash, and I'm so curious how they shot that.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, I should have just really researched how they shot it, and I'm all like...
Well, I don't know how you would find that out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it looks authentic, but I'm... Like, you've been on sets before. it's just like, imagine wrangling people. Where do you think Crafty was?
I don't know if there was a Crafty. There probably was. There had to have been.
But it's just because, like, take after take after take after take, setting up the shot, different angles.
It had to have been just a landfill. That's right.
But that can't be sanitary. Because, I mean,
I want to know what the budget was for this movie.
$20 million.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. There's a lot of money that went into this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. And it looks like it had a lot of money go into it.
$20 million.
Yeah.
How much did it make?
A lot more than that. Hmm. It got released in multiple countries.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then it won here.
It won here, and it's like it swept. Like, it was like everyone that's in this movie, this was like their first movie, and everyone blew up. Like the main actor, I can't remember his name, but he's still acting. I know he was in The Last Airbender, but he's still acting.
Oh, nice.
And let me see. Yeah, this movie, it won Best Picture, even though it was, I read somewhere that it was one of the few movies to win Best Picture, but not have any nominations for Best Actor.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Wonder who won Best Actor that year.
2008?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember, because I was like, he was in something recently. Like, he's killing it. He's killing it. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Mm.
In There Will Be Blood.
Never saw it.
It's okay.
It's pretty good. I guess I'll have to see it. Maybe tonight. Maybe I'll watch it tonight.
You don't have to. I mean, if you're a fan, check it out. Like, he Lewis's it up, but you don't have to. I thought it was okay. Okay, so back to this movie.
Yes, sorry.
No, it's fine. Okay, so he loses track. They lose track of Latika, and the two boys, they're working again, but as like kind of tour guides around the Taj Mahal.
Yeah, well, they go on a train and they kind of live on a train for a while.
Yeah, they become like they get on the train and it takes them to a different area of India, and near the Taj Mahal, and then there's lots of opportunities to grift people, and so they kind of survive that way, because there's a scenes with lots of gullible American tourists.
Yes, the one where they take them to the slums and then the car is basically robbed.
Mm-hmm.
Was he in on that robbing? I wasn't sure at the end. It didn't seem like he was, because those characters are all newly introduced, but
maybe. I don't know.
I couldn't figure it out.
I did think there was a scene where you see them emptying out water bottles and then filling them with water and selling them.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was so gross.
Yeah, I was like, oh, gosh.
But, I mean, every penny counts, I suppose. But, so, Jamal, he kind of is in love with Latika from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to go find her. And they find out that they're like teenagers now, almost.
Yeah.
And she's being, they find out she's going to be sold. Well, her virginity is going to be sold. Like, she's being prepped for that.
Oh, yeah. That was so sad.
I know. And
yeah, this movie was really hard to watch. I forgot how
so
I was just like,
dark.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. What have I done?
And then they basically try to rescue her, and they end up shooting the guy that originally kidnapped them.
Yeah, and was taking all the children's eyes, making kids go blind for money.
And he was, I guess, moving on to sex slaves. And then they shoot him. And then his rival comes and wants to hire Salim.
Yeah. Or I thought Salim came to him, didn't he?
Oh.
Because the rival was, they showed him in the beginning of the movie
in
the Mercedes. And Salim, like, it's the first look he gets of the rival. And then when they're teens, Salim finds him.
Okay. So Salim finds him, and then basically starts working for him because he killed off his rival.
Mm-hmm.
And but then like he does a dick move again where he won't let Jamal take Latika.
Yeah, I think that was like his way of saying, let me come work for you and make a ton of money. I have this, which is a human being.
Oh, that's what that was. Yeah.
And then that's why he held the gun to Jamal's face and was like,
yeah, and
leave.
That's how he knew the answer of who made the revolver.
Yes.
Wait,
who was it again?
I think it was Samuel Colt.
Yes, Samuel Colt.
Yeah.
Well, I would not win $1 million if I was on Who Wants to Be.
Well, that show's insane. I remember not liking that show. Did you like that show?
No. I remember, I think I liked You Are the Weakest Link. I used to watch that.
Oh,
you are the Weakest Link. Goodbye.
I mean, that was funny, but the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, part of me, like, even when I was younger, I was like, you cannot give random people $1 million. It's going to be bad.
Oh, yeah. When did that show stop airing? Hopefully.
Did it stop airing?
Is it still airing?
I don't know.
That Shark Tank took over or whatever.
But it just feels very, it makes the movie seem very 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Like flip phones. And
oh, yeah. The phone calls where they answer with their flip.
Even the way the movie was shot, like even though it's shot beautifully, it definitely looks like of that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like Danny Boyle has a very specific style of making you feel frantic, but. Yeah, this movie's exhausting.
Yeah.
I mean, as invigorating and beautifully shot as it is, it's just a teeth grinder.
Yeah. Well, because then where we left off was his brother, Salim, tells Jamal to run away.
Uh-huh.
Or to leave. And then Jamal comes back and they're gone in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to, he's now an adult working.
Customer service?
I think. I don't even think he was working customer service. Wasn't he just like delivering snacks for them?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because someone asks him to hold the phone for a second.
Gotcha. Oh, then that's why he didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then he uses that access to a computer to search for...
Salim.
Yeah.
Oh, Latika. Can't find
her. Latika can't find her, so he tries to find his brother, and he finds him, and they meet up, and it's interesting because they meet up. He's like a full-on mobster now.
Yeah.
And, they talk about how much India's changed since they were kids, like how heavily industrialized it is. But Salim does have access to Latika.
Yeah, but he lies again and says doesn't know where she is.
Mm-hmm. And so I forget, how does he get on the show?
Oh, well, I know that so what happens there is that after that he follows Salim.
Mm-hmm.
Back and then goes
to that that house.
Goes into the house and then
he pretends
sees
to be the help.
Latika, and then it was like, oh yeah, and they almost get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you have to leave, so he leaves and he sees her watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Actually, I am blanking. I don't remember how he gets on.
Doesn't he like, don't you have to like, he like wins
or he calls in
and he gets lucky.
Yeah.
Because all of his coworkers like desperately want to get on it. And he's like the only person he knows that's not interested in that show. And then he gets on it and everyone's just like, holy shit. And then the movie takes off.
And then cut to real time now. He's on the show and he has the final question.
Yeah. And then he wants to phone a friend because he doesn't know the answer. Who's the fourth musketeer or something like that?
Third
musketeer. And it should be something, you would think that it's something he knows, because in the very beginning you see them as children learning about the book, The Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
And then he calls him, Salim, and Latika. They call themselves The Three Musketeers, but he doesn't actually know their names.
Yeah, that is true. I actually don't know The Three Musketeers' names either.
I think one of them's D'Artagnan, but who cares? So he gets the chance to phone a friend and he only knows one phone number.
Yeah. And Salim's.
Yeah.
And at that point, Salim has told Latika to just run. And then she's you'll be killed.
So Salim at in a last act of repentance gives her his keys, like car keys.
Oh, we skipped over the part where Jamel tells Salim, oh, sorry, Latika, to meet her. He'll wait at the train station every day for 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And then she meets him. Mm-hmm. Salim comes, mm-hmm. grabs her. They mm-hmm. drive off, gives her a giant cut in her cheek.
Uh-huh.
And then... Then he gives her the keys.
Yeah, then he gives her the keys to his car, and then I think a phone. And she picks up when he calls, and mm-hmm. so he's just so happy that it's her answering, that he doesn't care about the show anymore, and accidentally wins.
Yes, yeah. And then his brother shoots the mobster mm-hmm. and dies in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah, because they shoot him. Oh, he fills the bathtub with money.
Yes.
And apparently, right before he gets shot, he says, God is great.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's what Gandhi said right before he got shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He does say, like, before he gets shot, too, like, for something like, forgive me for my sins or something.
Uh-huh. I don't know why they chose those lines for him. I'm not sure. Because, I mean, I don't know if they meant to make the Gandhi connection.
Oh, yeah. I'm guessing they probably did, but.
I mean, what a quinkadink. yeah, so, and then they run to each other at the train station, right? Mm-hmm. And then you see them embrace, and then the movie ends with a fun dance number.
Yeah, it ends, then lights back up, mm-hmm. they do the Bollywood dance.
Everyone's dressed colorful, everyone's clean, everyone's safe and alive.
Yes. And you're like, oh.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God this movie's over.
Someone's watching those kids, everyone's okay.
What a journey, yeah.
But yeah, this movie blew up. It got Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtrack was huge, I remember. And all those actors, like we said earlier, blew up. They're still working.
Yeah.
And I remember there was some controversy over people were saying they found Slumdog, that term, offensive.
Oh.
But Danny Boyle was saying that it was actually a combination of slum, like where they're from, and underdog.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I don't, he might have, in his mind, he thought it was a positive nickname, but I can also see why Indians would find it offensive.
Yeah,
because calling someone a slumdog legitimately sucks.
yeah, it seems very, very rough.
What parts of this movie stood out the most to you?
Ah, oh, man, the whole thing was crazy. Oh my gosh. When they're on the train and stealing that stuff. And mm-hmm. the whole time I was like, oh, give them a home. Someone give them a home.
Yeah.
And give them back their mom.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, the fact that he just coincidentally knew. I liked how the past was going with like the real time. Mm-hmm. And it was going back and forth. For some reason, that always gets me. And I like that in movies.
Uh-huh.
Like a good flashback.
Yeah, this movie's like nonstop flashbacks.
Yeah, yeah. Just his story of how he got there. And I do like the tie-in between how he is just lucky with the questions that were asked and how he knows each answer. Because it's like, oh, that's such a fun, interesting, unique idea.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah. But it is very timed. Like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? No one watches that anymore.
Yeah, one of the videos I was watching was saying that that show puts like a weird timestamp on this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is it still a good movie? Yes, but it does definitely make it feel very 2000s.
Yeah. Even when I think I watched it in 2007, the flip phones made it seem like it was 2 years before.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, the flip phones, that show. Yeah, but it's still a very entertaining movie. And I didn't know it was based on a book. Did you?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to read the book.
Yeah. I mean, someone wrote the screenplay, Simon Beaufoy, but it's based on a book by someone named, can't read my own writing, Vika Swarup?
Hmm. I do need to read more.
They didn't really advertise that it was written on a book, based on a book.
Mm.
But, yeah, I really liked this movie.
I don't know what it is. I think I've been watching so many tense movies lately. Mm-hmm. I don't think my nerves could handle another tense movie.
Yeah.
As much as I love this movie. Like, I love the soundtrack, love the acting, love the stories.
It was tense.
And also the very visceral colors. Even the scene with the Bombay riots, as mm-hmm. horrible as that is. I do remember, I was rewatching that scene, the colors of that. You see a child painted like the god Vishnu.
Yeah.
So they're bright blue. And it's just like, among all this chaotic violence, it's just such a weird, poetic, religious image
mm-hmm.
that just stands out. And yeah, it's just so much insanity. Like, why was that child there? What was the purpose?
Yeah. Well, what was their religion for
the people attacking were Hindi nationalists.
Okay.
So that was one of their gods. But I was just like, I don't think it's a good idea to bring a live child right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. If people liked this movie or are interested in this movie, what other films would you recommend?
This movie? Well, I was trying to think of what other indie films were a game changer
mm-hmm.
or things, and I couldn't think of any for some reason.
Oh, they don't, no, sorry. They don't have to also be game changers. They just like related to this film, or if they liked this film, they might like this film.
Well, I guess I liked Short Term 12. I don't know if that's similar to this film, but
I am not familiar with that. Explain.
I think I fell in love with Brie Larson when I watched that movie. She killed it. It's, again, a movie. Man, I haven't seen that in forever. How would you explain? Yes.
I mean, it's about, like, people that take care of, like, kids who are like from broken homes. They're like sort of like the shelters that's that they right. go to.
Okay.
And they're called like short term. Like that's the number for the place that they're at.
Okay.
And Brie Larson's one of those volunteer sort of like, I don't even know if you call them counselors. I don't know what their official title is.
Okay.
But she has to work with kids that are dealing with major issues. Such
oh, wow.
As like kids that should be, you know, having what we consider normal lives, having addiction problems, like suicidal problems,
yeah.
abuse, and so forth.
Yeah, and okay. some of them even have parents too, but they come here and then leave. But yeah, mm-hmm. I really love that movie. And then she has her own internal problems as it goes throughout. But but yeah.
Any other films?
Any more upbeat films? That's such another sad one. Other films? This film's one of my favorite movies ever. Which isn't that related to Slumdog Millionaire's Logan Lucky. I feel like that flew under the radar, but I loved that movie so much.
What movie? What's that about?
That came out,
so
I think,
familiar.
A year or two ago. But it's with Channing Tatum, and he just robs a speedway.
Ah.
It's another heist movie.
Uh-huh.
But I thought it was done really well.
Did you say heist movie?
Heist. Yep. City heist.
I mean, I could see the word right away, but I was like,
no, that's not right.
I'm like, did I say that? Am I saying heist wrong?
I even have like a, yeah, sometimes I get like, there's someone who I know named Kara. And sometimes I'm like, shoot, is it Kara or Kara? And I'm like, ah. You guys ever get stressed out like that?
I always say the words.
I'm like, I know what it is. What
Capri
am I doing?
Capri Sun wrong. I always call it Capri Sun.
Capri. Capri.
Yeah.
Leonardo da Capri Sun.
But yeah, I guess it's Capri Sun. And I'm just like, it's a fucking pouch of juice.
You're making it sound so fancy too, Connie.
Well, Capri. I'm not making it sound fancy. Everyone else is making it sound fancy. I have been calling it Capri Sun.
Capri Sun.
Yeah, it doesn't deserve that little extra lift.
Capri.
I would recommend an Indian film called, I believe it's called Children of Heaven.
Hmm.
It's about a little boy living in India who his sister, they're very, very poor. Again, very, very poor. And his sister loses her shoes and they share a pair of shoes. So they don't want to tell their parents they lost a pair of shoes. So they share a pair of shoes and he enters a running. He gets really good at running because he has to run home in time to give her his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he enters a run. He gets really good at running and he enters a contest to win a pair of shoes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then he wins it.
Spoiler alert, third prize was a pair of shoes, but he gets first prize.
Mm.
Yeah. But it has a happy ending.
Hmm.
Yeah, but it's just so brutal and but it's beautifully done.
Oh, nice. I'll have to check that out. For a second, I thought you were going to talk about that Christmas song, the shoes, the pair of shoes. Have you guys heard that Christmas song? It's a night. It's because when you were describing it at first, I was like, oh, and then it took a turn. A pair of shoes. It's this little girl. Her mom's dying because of cancer. And it's a Christmas song. And all she wants for Christmas is a pair of shoes to give her dying mom. So she asks a man in line for a penny. It's a crazy song. I actually think Patton Oswalt has a bit about it, but.
Oh my God.
If you look up the song Christmas Shoes, it'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind that it's on the radio still.
Why does a woman who's dying need a pair of shoes?
Exactly.
Not to be weird, but I don't think she needs the shoes.
The whole storyline doesn't make sense or add up.
She's not going to be walking where she's going. Oh my God. What a insane. You know, no, that's not the craziest Christmas song. The stupidest song from all time is Santa Baby.
Oh, yeah, that one's creepy.
That's so gross. Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. Who is she? Is she someone's mom? Is she a little girl?
Well, isn't it just supposed to be the mom and the dad? Isn't that what it is, Connie?
Santa Baby?
Yeah. Because she's talking to Santa Claus, who's the dad.
Oh, is that what that
implies?
So
if anyone believes in Santa Claus, sorry. Yeah, Santa Baby.
I thought this horned up woman just really wanted this old Santa Claus.
An old dude?
Yes. That's what I thought.
She wanted to go to Pound Town with a guy with a giant beard and belly.
Yeah, well, that's what she keeps saying.
Well, I mean, she probably did, but it wasn't actual Santa Claus. It was probably like, you know, like Wayne or Brady.
Oh my God. I did not make that connection. I mean, why would I? But still a dumb song. Okay, Courtney, is there anything you'd like to plug?
No, I mean, I run a really fun show the second Saturday of the month called On Deck. It's really fun.
But where is it at?
It's at the Blue Rooster.
That's an art supply store, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, we just started a back room, so we opened it, and we have like a stage now, and we're slowly getting lights, but it's a really fun show.
It's a really cool backspace if people haven't been.
Yeah, it is a really cool backspace. They're actually, in a few months, going to open up a Shaved Ice storefront in the art store. So some of the art store will move to the backspace.
That's very random.
Yeah, right. But you know what? I'm ready for it. There's not enough Shaved Ice in Los Angeles. I think there is.
I've seen like one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it.
Push ice cream aside. Bring on the Shaved Ice.
Yeah. Sit down, ice cream.
Yeah, we have enough.
Did you want to plug our Twitter or anything?
Oh, you can follow me on @CourtneyCarwall. Yeah. That's my name.
No one took
on
it.
On both, yeah. No one took it. The only one. There's no other Courtney Carwalls.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
If you liked what you heard, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, or Campfire Media. You could subscribe. You could also check us out on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Indie Darlings Podcast. Thank you and good night.
I'm Jessica Jardin.
And I'm Marcy Jarrow.
We're the hosts of Kardashian It, a podcast about all things Kardashian here on Campfire Media.
The first family of Calabasas is back with season 15 of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
We're recapping episodes each week and covering a never-ending news cycle of the rapidly expanding Kardashian universe.
Which includes crossovers with your favorite rap and sports stars.
And this season we can expect family drama, secret pregnancies, the Khloe Tristan cheating scandal and cover-up.
And let us not forget Kanye's pre-album drop meltdown or Kim's new Trump allegiance.
Hey, even if you aren't a fan of this family, their reach stretches to so many areas of pop culture. You're not going to want to miss our examination of the ultimate celebrity phenomenon.
So check out Kardashian It, a podcast about all things Kardashian. And remember, the devil works hard, but Kris Jenner works harder.
Kardashian It on Campfire Media.
campfire.